Lucky boy, go crazy.
Justice Wisconsin, the truth. The most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM. The movement continues. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Milwaukee, stand up, stand up. It's Tory Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope. Yeah, Tory Lowe, from one to four, Monday through Friday, let's go. We about that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back, we ready. 101.7, the truth. Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show, live from American Family Insurance Studio at the Avenue. The movement continues. The marathon continues right here on 101.7 The Truth. Thank you for joining me for the second hour of the Tory Lowe Show. And that was a great conversation that we were talking about, Carmelo Anthony down in Texas. We will continue to keep y'all updated on that situation as it unfolds. But we have a situation down in Mississippi that we've been kind of just following right here on the Tory Lowe Show from a young man from Milwaukee, who went down to Mississippi to what he thought was to take care of a family. James Cooper, 23 years old, Wisconsin native, was only down there for a small amount of time down in Mississippi before he was found unalived. And the report came out that they said that he had hung himself. He was hanging in the area, and the family is saying, hold up. They're raising questions. We had the mom on the show a couple weeks ago, but today, Truth Nation, we got investigators. We got three investigators on the lines that have been investigating what's been going on down in Mississippi with James Cooper. We got Bree Williams, Kima Booker, and Kaylee on the lines. How y'all doing?
Thank you for having us. We're
good.
Now,
yes, thank you.
This has been going on a while now.
Yes, since May of 2023.
May of 2023. And once again, this is a Wisconsin native. This is a Milwaukee native. He goes down to Mississippi. We have the investigators on the phone. Bree Williams from Private Investigations, Kima Booker from Private Investigations, and we got Kaylee from KA. Andros from KA Investigations. I'll tell you this. Thank y'all for coming on the show today. And what we want to find out is, okay, he went down to Mississippi. Why did he go down there?
Well, on April 13th,
his girlfriend.
Go ahead, Bree.
No, oh, sorry. To be with his then girlfriend, Brittany. She had notified
him. So on April 13th,
she was dying. Go ahead.
No, okay, go ahead. I was just going to say that she didn't notify.
One at a time.
Go on. Yep.
I want you to tell them that part first about April 13th.
Okay. So on April 13th, James contacted his mother and father saying that Brittany had said to him that the doctors had told her that she had holes in her heart and that she was dying and she only had 1 month left to live. And that the baby that she had just found out that she was pregnant with, that they had to remove that baby. And so then 2 days later, he brought Brittany and her two kids down to Mississippi so that she could be with her family in her last days. He brought her down there and immediately came back on the Greyhound bus. But then a couple weeks later, on April 28th, he caught the Greyhound bus again down there to Greenville, Mississippi. And he stayed with his girlfriend, Brittany, and her mother.
So he stayed with the girlfriend and the mom at the time?
Yes.
Okay, he was only there a week, and he, from what I'm seeing, he had plans to get a job. He had all understandings of what we're hearing. His understandings was he was going to go down there, reset himself, and take care of a family.
Yes, exactly. To spend the last month with her. And he had a haircut scheduled. He had a job, couple jobs lined out. He was getting his ID that day. Then he went missing.
So, what, 7 days? A week? How long before the
less
incident?
Less than 2 weeks, 10 days.
So less than 2 weeks.
May 8th.
And now he's unalived. And that's why we're here today, because a lot of this is making me raise an eyebrow. A lot of people are raising an eyebrow to the situation. What do we know when it comes to when did this happen, on the day of when they found him, or what happened? What took place when things started going left?
Well, do you want to know from the day he went missing?
Yeah, the day he went missing. The day that he went missing, yeah.
You in, Bree?
Yeah, the day that he went missing. What happened?
Go ahead, Kaylee. The day that he went missing, there's several different stories about when he went missing, how he went missing. It was presumably told to us that there was a fight between him and Brittany. And Brittany instigated it. But as the investigation goes on, we found out that the reason it was instigated is to make it look like the events that James was an abuser, because that's what she told everybody down there before James even got there, that James abused her, jumped on her, put holes in her heart. That's why she's dying, and that's why she lost the baby. So everybody thinks that this James is, you know, an abuser. And
so she preset the ideal of him before he even got there.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow. Now he's there. He's happy. He's looking for a job. He goes missing. Was there a missing report file?
That we do not know for sure, even though the mother says she reported a missing on the 9th. There is no telltale evidence that she really did.
So how was everybody alerted that something went wrong?
Who do you mean, everybody?
Like how did they know that something was wrong?
The family?
The family.
The people down there.
The people down there, the community. Because I would think that the people down there would know if something happened, they would know first.
Well, you'd think so. The people down there really did not express it to anybody except within the close-knit people who are involved. And the family really didn't know what was going on until he was found dead.
Oh, wow.
So the mother is saying that she asked Brittany over and over and over for a phone number for family members, and that Brittany wouldn't give it to her. That's what the mother is claiming. The mother claims that right after the fight, that's where their stories completely change. The mother says that Brittany, at one time, she said that Brittany left town, went to Memphis, which is a couple hours away, and never came back until after she called her and said that they found James. She also said that Brittany was in town until the next day in different conversations, there's different stories. Another time she said that Brittany was there till the next day. Brittany has claims, in one conversation, she said that she went to Memphis that same day that James left on the 8th after the fight. She said she went to Memphis and she was gone until they found James. Another conversation, she said that she was there in Greenville searching for James until the next day, late afternoon. She says all of her, she's given many alibis, and every single one of them is, it's not checking out. In fact, they're all saying that she's lying.
Well, we also have proof that Brittany and her mother were together the night of Monday night. They were out. They got gas. They got cigars to smoke, the marijuana that they had.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now,
so there is proof that they were together that night.
Now, they find the body. Where they're saying is a suicide. Why are people raising eyebrows about this situation?
Who wants to go?
Sure.
Okay.
So when they found James, so it was the mother that found James and her two church friends. And then called their pastor and the
correct.
It was Brittany's mother that found James. And they called the police. The police came there. There was also the pastor and people around us. There was other witnesses that drove by. The police immediately, according to the newspaper, because the newspaper that was published the next day said that the police immediately ruled it a suicide. And they also, witnesses have said that they said that the medical examiner will agree with them that it was a suicide. So they only, it appears to be that they only interviewed the mother, Latasha, and Brittany. They didn't interview anyone else, question anyone else. Brittany claimed that.
Yes. Go ahead.
Brittany claimed that James was always suicidal, that he had attempted many times, which is not true. We've read years of messages. We've seen his over 125-page medical report. He was not always depressed and suicidal, but that is what she told them. So I don't know if they're just going off of what she's saying or why, because he was literally sitting on the ground with a cable cord wrapped around his neck.
Oh, wow.
He had marks all over, which Kaylee will go into, all the different markings all over his body. And something was tied. It looks like a zip tie. There was something tying his thumbs together.
What?
And yes.
And they said this was a suicide.
And they said it was a suicide.
Truth Nation, look, we're on the lines with investigators that are looking into the situation that took place in Mississippi with a Milwaukee native, James Cooper, 23 years old. He went down there to be with a young woman that he at the time assumed that she was pregnant. And within 10 days, his body was found with a rope around his neck, and they're saying it's a suicide. Brittany is Black.
Correct.
And that when you talk about somebody tying a rope around the neck, a lot of people would assume that there could have been a racial element of, you know, hatred. But you're saying that they're saying that this was a suicide, but the body, the way the body looked, seems to raise an eyebrow.
Well, there are a lot of red flags that were ignored that show that it wasn't suicide.
What were some of the standout red flags?
It was not a rope. It was a lanyard from a duffel bag that was tied around his neck. And if you look at the duffel bag strap, You could see that it was pulled by somebody who's standing in front of James.
Oh, wow.
He did not do that himself. And the cables that were around his neck, they're a quarter inch width cable. From, if you're familiar with telephone poles, you see those black cables up there.
Right.
That's what was wrapped around his neck. Two of them.
What?
Yes. Now, his dad went down there and tried to bend those cables, and he had a hard time trying to even make a dent in them.
So it's no way possible that he could have done that to himself.
Correct.
Now, you said that there were zip ties.
That's just the obvious.
You said that there were zip ties on his thumbs.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
A zip tie.
Mm-hmm.
Which was not turned in.
What else?
Evidence.
What else was disturbing from your findings?
Goodness. The lab work alone. The lab work showed that he had 13 milliliters, not milligrams, but milliliters of marijuana in his system. And this was 9 days later.
Oh, wow.
So he had a lot in his system when he died. Now, that right there is a red flag saying, hey, this guy has all that in a system. That makes him not able to function.
More vulnerable to an attack or something.
Yeah, he could not defend himself. He could not. There's no way possible he could have tied that duffel bag strap around his neck, put those cords around his neck, and sit down peacefully with his legs crossed and his hands in his lap.
Oh, wow.
There's no way. Not with that much in his system.
Why do y'all feel that the investigation was not thorough?
That the investigation was what?
It was not thorough. It wasn't like a real investigation from what it sounds like.
Well, because initially, like Kima said, the sheriff's department immediately ruled it a suicide. Now, the guy sitting on the ground, and there is no ladder, no chair, no nothing to climb up on to hang himself from. And again, he's sitting on the ground with these cords wrapped around him, and there's no knot.
Oh, wow.
So, you know.
Wow.
You gotta. And that's just at the scene of the crime. That is not pictures that were taken at the autopsy.
Well, look, when we come back, we're going to run the break. Truth Nation, we got this story out of Mississippi involving a Wisconsin native, James Cooper, 23 years old. He moved to Mississippi to be with what he thought would be a family. And 10 days later, his body was found severely. They even said it was scar marks, you know, he'd been drugged. We're going to talk about this when we get back. We got the investigators on the line. We're going to try to dig deeper into the situation. Truth Nation, stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
Don't touch that dial. The Tory Lowe Show will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is the Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Wake up, filthy.
Diego.
101, 7 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. Once again, we got a story that's going on right now. This has been going on for a while down in Mississippi, from a situation that stems from a Milwaukee native, James Cooper, 23 years old, went down to Mississippi to try to start a new life, to try to be with a woman that he believed at the time could have been pregnant with his child, and that he was going to start a family 10 days later. Questionable death, where they say that he's has something around his neck. He's in a position that's raising eyebrows of someone that have hung themselves and took his own life. A lot of the investigation is saying it's pointing to red flags. We got the three investigators on the lines. We got Bree Williams, Kima Booker, and Kaylee Andros. How y'all doing?
Andros.
Yeah. How you doing? How you doing, Kaylee Andros?
We're good.
And I'll tell you this.
We're doing great.
I'll tell you this, Kaylee. When we talk about the red flags, and you said that there were things that were very unusual that possibly couldn't have happened due to his intake of marijuana, and that he had no stool. These were electrical wires, heavy electrical wires involved, even where the hands were tied. And you're just saying that this is kind of impossible for this to end up like this. Why is there hesitance, do you believe, on the behalf of the department? Or maybe they feel like this is what they believe, that it was suicide.
Bree, do you want to say something about that?
Sure. Excuse me. Well, at this time, we do believe that there is a leak within the precinct. We do feel like Brittany actually has connections with someone within the investigative team. Usually anytime something is spoke of or someone is willing to go forth and speak, it doesn't happen because Brittany finds out before the person can actually give their statement. Or if someone is... We ourselves as investigators have made notice to one of the employees that someone was coming in to actually talk and give a statement. And before that person could actually do it, Brittany knew about it. So there's definitely some kind of insight with Brittany and the investigators team. So I do feel like that's why it's not getting as much recognition. It's been swept under the rug because of the fact that they're not willing to let Brittany fall for something that she potentially had her hands involved in.
Now, a lot of people in the chat, in the talk to text, are saying, what was Brittany's story about what happened?
She says that he committed suicide.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Go ahead. And
she said it would be easier that way.
Yeah.
She told me it would be easier to believe that he just committed suicide, and she really has not helped out at all. She's given many alibis, and again, they are all coming back saying, no, she's lying. Something that forgot to mention earlier was that the mother had said that when she talked with Brittany the next day, that Brittany told her that Brittany had spoken to Nadine, which is James's mom, and that Nadine had said that James called her and said that he was by water in the woods and going to kill himself. And what's interesting is the very next day, that's where they found James, by water in the woods, unalive, looking like he committed suicide.
Oh, wow. And was there a record of that phone call on her phone?
Nope.
No. Oh, wow. Okay, so no, why?
Nadine says that she hadn't spoken to him since May 5th.
Mm.
That's actually the last time anyone heard from him in a voice context.
What do we as a community need to know, and how can we help?
Oh,
we really just need the media presence because we need an outside investigation, because clearly we can't go to the local police there. The witnesses, they don't trust them. She's getting information before they can even get there. We need a really big media push to get an outside investigation done.
And this,
another,
and this township is a black township. Black police department. Black.
Correct.
So this is a black township that this happened in.
Yes.
They didn't follow procedure.
Brittany is black. The people that are working this situation are majority black.
Correct. I don't know of anyone that's not black. Even the coroner on the scene, she sent Nadine, James's mother, a video of the scene, and she expressed her concern over believing that it was not self-inflicted. She said she didn't know how he could have done this to himself. So she thought there was foul play. That was the coroner on the scene.
Well, she knew that he wasn't
there for
2 days prior to.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right.
This is a lot. This is a lot to take in.
The autopsy was visual.
This is a lot to take in.
The autopsy was only visual.
That's only the beginning. There is so much more to this case that is getting swept under the rug.
How can we help out? Because this is down in Mississippi. What can we do? What can we do as a community?
Is
there a number we could call? Is there a petition? Is there something that we can do?
The family has a website. It's jameskcooper.com. And on that website, there are some links. One is for a GoFundMe to help them with attorney fees. And another one is a link for a petition to get an outside investigation. And then there's another link that I believe is for media. When you click it, you can share the story with your different medias.
Mm-hmm.
That's jameskcooper.com.
When we talk,
what you can do is you can make a call down to the Mississippi Investigative Bureau.
The Mississippi Investigative Bureau.
Yes, it's trying to think of. I could send you the link here. Let me just look it up. But what we can do is have people call down there, and find out, if they can do an investigation into this case, because nothing is being done. The DA said that they were going to have the Sheriff's Department reinvestigate this, but they are not. And they hold the case open so that Nadine Cooper, James' mother, cannot obtain the records.
So it's still under investigation.
Yeah.
So they won't give out any information.
Correct. And it's not under investigation.
But they got the case open.
They said that it was open, but they were not going to actively investigate because
that sounds suspicious.
He had an iPad that he did his phone calls on, and they have that. And he said that it's open, but they're not going to investigate, and they're just going to wait until they are done looking at that. Well, it's been over a year and a half. And we do know that they are not questioning. They are not going out in interviewing people.
Who's the head?
They claim. Go ahead.
Who's the head person over there that if we call down there that we should speak to?
At the Sheriff's Department?
Right.
You want to speak to Major Adams.
Major Adams.
Correct.
Okay. Well, look, what we're going to do is we're going to try to call them live, you know, when we set up a time to call them live. I want you guys to be on the call. I want to make a live phone call from the radio show. Let's try to do it next week, Monday. And I want to try to, you know, get more, a little bit more information. So when I call that I'll have what I need, and I want to do it live on the radio.
Okay.
So
that
I'll
would be fine.
So I'm continuing to work with you guys to give me more information as this continues. And I appreciate y'all for coming on the show, because it's a lot to unpack. But once again, something don't sound right with this situation. And it's up to us to do our part.
No.
And I thank y'all for looking into this.
Thank you for bringing attention.
You're welcome.
Well,
thank you.
Well, let's reschedule another time to get on the show with the mom and try to do some probing. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
What?
Do some probing. We're gonna make some calls.
Okay.
We're gonna make some calls live on the air.
Yeah, the place
sounds
I was
good.
Talking about is the Mississippi Bureau of Investigation.
Mississippi Department of Investigation, the
Bureau of
Investigations. Okay, we got that. All right, we got some work to do. It seems like we got a little bit more work to do, but we're going to try to, you know, do as best as we can to try to get as close as we can to finding out what took place with a Milwaukee native, James Cooper. And I appreciate y'all for all the work that y'all have done on this situation. And once again, you know, we're going to continue to work to try to resolve this issue. And I appreciate y'all for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. I'll talk to y'all soon. Hey, look, when we come back, Truth Nation, we have more conversations. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
It's the Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
White diamonds, two in your she wallet. She sick, got they stomach in her comments. What school you went to? Gardena Compton. Westchester King Truth, do we function? Low,
but that 101.7 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. Hey, look, we got another guest. We got a guest on the lines. We got JB Fresh on the lines. JB, he wants to discuss a conference that's coming up for Daddies on Duty, a conference for all men who want to make an impact in their child's life. How you doing, JB Fresh?
I'm well, brother. What's going on?
Hey, JB. Daddies on Duty is an important organization in our community that you're involved with. There's a conference coming up. What's going on?
So this is a follow-up, man, that we had the conversation with back in late 2024.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing, man, is we're putting the work that we've been doing in the schools on display and actually bringing the resources right into the heart of the community. First, give a shout-out to Kevin Newell and Royal Capital for allowing for us to use Thrive on MLK. A very beautiful space, kitty corner from G's Clippers right off of Garfield. And, you know, we got D-Rock coming, man. It's going to get a comedic perspective on fatherhood. D-Rock's also a coach, educator in the NPS community. Hella Kids himself. We got resources built around dealing with dads. We got kids with mental health. There's going to be employment opportunities, activities and things to do with your kids, or resources for activities to do with your kids in the summertime. So we're bringing all that together in one space.
Hey, look, that's powerful, because sometimes when the summer comes and people be like, well, what is going on? Y'all got a list of things that's going on this summer that dads and their children can be involved in.
Well, everybody in Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee, gets this little book from NPS Rec that has a plethora of things to do, very discounted. Many other things are free. There's a summer camp book that is out as well. It's just folks just treated as junk mail, man. But the activities and resources are out there.
Now, Dads on Duty, explain what Dads on Duty, what they do in the community, and how do they help on a day-to-day basis?
So Dads on Duty is an initiative created by myself and Mr. Daryl Hall down at NPS. We noticed that there is just an exuberant amount of lack of males in public education, specifically men of color, and more specifically black men, and more specifically straight black men. And I want to put that out there.
Right.
So we created the process for schools to actively engage dads and welcome into the buildings through volunteering and mentoring. We've even reduced it, the pressure for a dad. We just ask a dad to volunteer 1 hour a month at their child's school. They can be
1 hour
giving
a month.
High fives in the classroom, hanging out with the kids at lunch, kicking it at recess, early, you know, they come in at school, you know, if you're on your way to work, you're already dropping your kids, you can jump out the car and just give a couple of more kids high fives for another 30 minutes. Man, those little things go a long way for climate, attendance, and grades for schools. We've done the research, man. We've been putting it in place.
Now, this is Saturday, May 3rd, 2025 at 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., 2153 North Martin Luther King Drive. I'm excited because we got
free
a lot
market,
of things going on with the
food.
Youth.
So, you know, you're getting the breakfast, man. We're going to send you home with lunch and tons of resources. I don't know what more I got to do to twist brothers' arms to make it out there. I'm pretty sure, man, that we was just at the King Center last week that we're giving out laptops. So I'm going to be connected with.
Giving out laptops?
Equity in a little bit here. Man, it's out here, man. It's just cats just see child support for dad resources and think that's it. But then what about the dudes who don't have those financial obligations, you know, with their children? You know,
right.
What about the guys that's ready to buy houses or the guys that the single men who have full custody of your kids?
Right. Hey, it's a lot. I always tell people so many different dynamics. That's why everybody got to do a little so nobody ain't got to do a lot. But this is right here, Dads on Duty, is powerful because you're trying to fill the void of the lack of males in the school system.
100%. And that goes both ways. You know, we can say that our little black boys, you know, or little young men of color need, you know, males, which is 100% true. But our female students need that as well. You know, how do they understand what safe men are like or what healthy relationships are supposed to be like? And then how do they know, you know, hey, you shouldn't be cussing like that, young lady, or hey, you know, and can we get you a different outfit so, you know, you don't have the rest of your body showing and people don't objectify you, you know, things of that nature. So it takes a father in the building to see those type of things and to be able to recognize those things. It's just those small little conversations. You know, we're not asking dads to be teachers. We're not asking dads to be safety. We're asking you just to do something that you would normally do on all. You're going to be kicking it with your kids.
That sounded powerful. That sounded powerful. Once again, Saturday, May 3rd, 2025, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. This is Dads on Duty, a conference call to all men who want to make an impact in a child's life. Once again, this will be held at 2153 North Martin Luther King Drive in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Anything else you want to say to the community, JB?
Really quick on just to add into that, you know, April is National Autism Month. So with this particular event, we're really trying to bring some additional support and resources for families with kids with special needs. So, you know, there's a lot of that going on in our community. Some of us are still in denial and not recognizing that, you know, our kids may be on the spectrum for various reasons. But the best help that we can get them, the faster, the better off they'll be able to have a chance at having a normal life or, you know, having a productive life. Now, that's the other added in there. So, you know, we're not excluding moms, anything of that nature, but we're definitely focused on the dads. But if you're a family out there with kids with special needs, come on down. We got some support and resources for you, too.
All right. Hey, it's out there, brothers. Dads on Duty. Be a part of it. Is there a website they can go to look and check out what's going on with Dads on Duty?
It's going to be the registration right there is going to be mpsmke.com. /dads with the S, D-A-D-S, on duty.
Well, thank you, JB, for everything you do for the community. You've always been somebody on the front lines trying to find ways to resolve issues, and I appreciate you for everything you do. I've been knowing you for a long time, and all the time you're always thinking, what can we do to help improve the neighborhood? And I appreciate that about you.
Man, thank you, man. It's not just about the parties, man. We try to, you know, we try to take what we do for entertainment, man, and put it right back into the hood. Literally.
Hey, like I said, and your birthday just passed.
Appreciate that.
Hey, happy birthday.
Appreciate
happy belated
that.
Birthday. And like I said, we're going to have to get out. You know, I'm going to have to meet you outside in your element just to have a little moment with my bro.
Man, short plug, man. We got new ownership on 46th and Burleigh, man. All Wise is now known as On 46. So come on down, man. It's fresh menu, fresh food, new life and new energy on there. Another black-owned business right in our community.
All right. Well, look, we're going to tap into that as well. And you be safe out here. And anything that Dads on Duty got happening, got going on, got happening, whatever, let me know.
Yep. Stay tuned for Active Dad. We're going to be doing another ice cream social with Shannon Reed and Marcel soon.
Okay. All right. Thank you for tapping in today, JB. Hey, look, when we come back, Truth Nation, stay locked in. We're going to have more conversation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
More of the Tory Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of the Tory Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I got the key to the streets. I got the key to the D. Moo got a loan from Cali. He say when he finished, he dropping Philippe. I went and blew out a rolling. Well, no, take it from me. Don't put your trust in these or cuddle with, bro, take it from me. Chopping it up with big homie. He say don't try to outdo the city. I'll do out of the city that's in the industry. You outgrew the city. I saw to deal with 300. Now the hate coming out of you. But it ain't no problem, my, cause them choppers will fly through you. Bro, before I got locked up, I was up when I got out of prison. I ain't heard out of these or, and don't remember getting a dollar from. Chilling, I'm up and I'm minding my business.
101.7 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. April is Financial Literacy Month, and The Truth has you covered on learning about how you can best manage your finances. All April, jamming with Juice. Benjamin and Carrie Noni will speak to Nikki Johnson. Nina Johnson, Senior Vice President of Wisconsin Branch Banking Market Leader at U.S. Bank. They will discuss financial strategies and tools they offer to customers to help enhance your financial management skills. Financial Literacy Month on the award-winning 1017 The Truth is sponsored by U.S. Bank. Visit your local U.S. Bank today. Truth Nation, our fourth annual Tory Lowe Community Cleanup is Saturday, April 12th from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. And we want you to be there. Go to truthcommunitycleanup.com to sign up and volunteer to help keep Milwaukee clean. Everyone who registers for the last cleanup site will get a free lunch provided by Cousin Subs. Register today at truthcommunitycleanup.com. That's truthcommunitycleanup.com. Let's help clean and beautify our city together. The Tory Lowe Community Cleanup is presented by 1MKE. We are 1MKE and sponsored by Cousin Subs, U.S. Cellular, Landmark Credit Union, Raise Coca-Cola, and Waste Management. Hey, look, we had a lot going on the show today. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a lot, but we're going to take it one situation at a time. I tell people all the time as an advocate, every day I'm bombarded with different situations, and I'll tell you this, sometimes I get tired, DJ Brother Z. But I'll tell you this, we get right back on it. We get right back on it. And salute to everybody that's on the front lines. It's not easy work. It's not easy work, especially when you see that, you know, the difficulties ahead, the things that are happening. Once again, I'm very active. I'm hands on, and I believe that we can do it. A lot of times people always look outside. I don't look outside of Tory Lowe. I think I can do a lot. I think I can go do it. If somebody missing, I don't want to hear who ain't doing nothing, what we finna do. Somebody committed a homicide. Okay, I don't want to, you know, what we finna do. Things going on, I want to know what we finna do. I don't want to waste no time talking about, you know, who ain't doing what. We going to get it done, and then we going to come back and check them later. You know, the people who were supposed to be involved. That's my whole thing. I'm trying to let everybody know by being an example that we can do it. And I'm telling you right now, I ain't never called nobody. After families call me, that's where the buck stops, because we going to get busy. And I'm telling you, I'm living that life like that. That's why I don't have no confidence. That's why I don't talk. That's why I don't, you know, I don't look outside of Tory Lowe. How about that? Let's say that. And it's been going on. This been going on for years. When families come to me, they come to me because the people that they went to didn't do nothing. So I'm telling you, I'm showing you that we can get it done. Don't believe the illusion that we, you know, you need all these different moving parts. I ain't never had it. So, like I said, it's time. It's time. It's time to rise up, and it's time to be about that action. When we come back, Truth Nation, we're going to open up the lines. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.